Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
It is January. Before that, should you be allowed work from home in an effort to reduce traffic congestion? Take a listen to Damien McCarthy. He's the CEO of the HR consultancy firm HR Buddy.
I think there's an insecure and immature argument being put out there, which is unfair on business owners and employers. And one of the more ridiculous arguments I've heard over the last number of months, Shane, is that employers should leave their workers work from home on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays so that there would be less traffic and less traffic chaos inside in our cities and towns. And I think this is the remote working argument gone mad.
Yeah, Damien McCarthy speaking on News Talk Breakfast earlier this morning. Is he right, though? Is it fair to put the to place the onus on business employers, business owners, to try and reduce the level of traffic congestion that I'm sure so many of you are sick of sitting in every single morning and every evening? Larissa Feeney is the CEO of the accountancy firm Knorr. She's with me here on the line today. Is it fair to place this burden at the door of employers, Larissa?
No. Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me on. I agree with Damien. I think Damien was saying that it is not the responsibility of the employer to make sure that there's no traffic on the roads. And he's absolutely right. It is the responsibility of government, isn't it, to make sure that the traffic levels are at an are okay for people and sustainable for people, and not the responsibility of employers.
So, like, we see more and more people, obviously, you know, with split working now from home. And, like, I would even say anecdotally myself, Larissa, travelling in and out on the bus to Dublin City Centre. My God, Tuesdays and Thursdays are a nightmare. You're at least 50 minutes extra on the bus. But, you know, the idea of telling employers that they should tell staff now to work from home to reduce that, you know, it's obviously going to create a difficult situation for employees and employers.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, employers and businesses have to make decisions in the best interest of their business, right? So that's in for customers and for their teams. And I mean, for us, we're a remote firm, as you know. We have a team of almost 100 dotted around the country. And traffic levels have never come into consideration into the decision-making process. And nor should they, because we have to make the decisions in terms of what's in the best interest of our customer. And okay, if the customer requires you to be in the office on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, then so be it. And that's probably why traffic levels are the way they are on those days. But employers can't make that decision, and just to keep traffic levels low, Andrea, that makes no sense whatsoever. And I mean, I suppose the reason why traffic levels are the way they are in those days is because what employers are trying to do is trying to create some kind of consistency. That, you know, the discussion around remote working has been very interesting over the past number of years, and we've gone from remote working to a hybrid approach and more of a move back to the office. And that's why we're seeing traffic levels increasing, because what employers are perhaps trying to do is try to strike that balance between giving a little bit of flexibility to those to their employees to allow them to work from home on Mondays and Fridays, but at the same time needing them to be in the office and needing that presenteeism for a period of time during the week and needing everybody to be in on the same days. Because obviously most businesses require some level of in-person work, and most businesses require their teams to be in person on the same days.
Interesting text from a listener here who says, you know, a few months ago when the banks were bringing their staff back on site 2 or 3 days a week, the vast majority of the opinions were that staff have had it good enough for long enough and stop whinging. Funny now to hear people whinging about longer commutes. Where's the joined up thinking? Tracy Keogh was with us on the line as well, Larissa. Tracy is the co-founder and chair of Grow Remote. Are you full-time working at home, Tracy?
I am, yes. And that last comment, where is the joined up thinking, is exactly the problem that we have now. I've been full-time working remotely for close to a decade, and I've been full-time working on the challenge of remote work for close to a decade. And I think the conversation that we're having now, where we're going again looking to kind of bash employers to solve all the problems of society, isn't the right conversation to be having. I think that Larissa's point is perfectly push, and she has a brilliant remote first company that's doing so much for the Irish economy in so many different ways by employing people remotely, but she didn't think about traffic concerns. What we need to do is come together, to create more remote work in Ireland. And actually, Andrea, just over the weekend, we launched a campaign called joinsway.org. And it's the first time that we'll have one place to come together to get the government to set a target for remote jobs into Ireland. We have no targets around remote work, which is something that can help climate change, it can help traffic, it can help individual lifestyle, it can help so many different things. And Ireland has no target for it. And not only do we not incentivize it, we actually disincentivize it. So to come full circle, maybe to the question you were asking originally, whose job is it? It's the government's job. And the TII have come out, you know, before Christmas and said, sorry, we can't do any more about the M50. They mightn't be able to do any more about the M50, but Ireland and the government can do so much more. We haven't even touched the size of the potential about remote work, but this isn't about bashing employers who aren't comfortable with it yet. There are 100,000 remote PAYE remote jobs that come into Ireland, that could come into Ireland every month, that we don't get access to because we have no target. So this isn't about bashing everybody. Mm. This can be a win-win for everybody in this situation.
Do other countries, Tracy, have the working from home that you mentioned targets? Like, are we an outlier in this?
No, they don't. We'd be the first, but like that's not a reason like not to do it, right? We've done relatively well. Start the trend, and I suppose sorry now I have to pitch it right. But we're a non-profit. We've been in it for close to a decade. I'm kind of getting a little bit tired of the same conversation circling every single year. Joinsway.org, free to do. We'll be up in Leinster House the next couple of weeks. We want data. We need insights. We need to know, particularly from employees and commuters. We need to set the target, and that will win into Ireland minimum 1% of the 100,000 remote jobs that are available every single month in companies like Larissa's. You'd know by hearing her speak that she's a great person to work for. We're missing out on massive opportunities like that.
Well, some of the other texts on this, like this listener says, I think working from home is the only solution going forward. Another texter makes the point, what's the problem with asking employers to let their staff work from home if it does help to reduce our traffic congestion? This listener, though, says it's the staff, it's the employees. They have too much power now. The employers should be the boss. Not the other way around, Tracy.
Yes, but I suppose we just ran an all-party group in Leinster House, which we've been running for the last year, on the topic of remote work. And there we took in ourselves and Go Remote submissions on the right to request. Employers aren't doing this because, you know, they're trying to be dinosaurs who hate their employees. They have real areas of friction that they're not yet comfortable with, and there aren't enough supports to help them embed remote. You know, when there's regulatory issues, when there's, if you say yes to one person, do you have to say next to the yes to the next person beside them? And all of that goes back to kind of we're having the wrong conversation. We don't need to convince anybody of anything. The jobs are already there. We're just banging down the wrong door, and we're trying to pull down a door that doesn't need to be opened. There are 100,000 decent careers open today, and we're just not going for them while we're bothering fighting with each other.
1800 453 106 is the number. Stay with us, Tracy and Larissa. Tony is on the line. Tony, do you think you know, people should be allowed to work from home in an effort to ease traffic congestion and long and lengthy waits on the M50, or is it fair to put that onus on the employer?
First of all, happy New Year, Andrea.
Same to yourself, Tony.
100% agree with Larissa and Tracy. Couldn't have said it better myself. I worked remotely for 12 years and I managed people remotely for a lot longer period, and I worked and commuted to Dublin for 12 years, 3 to 6 hours total commute time. So, not the employer's job, 100% correct. Public and private sector, different arguments, but let's stick with the private sector. Sometimes people are not suited to work remotely, and if they're not, you shouldn't have them work remotely. That could be for the company or for themselves. Mm. Because from the company point of view, you must deliver to the customers. If you don't deliver to the customers, somebody else will deliver to the customers, which means your job will no longer exist. That's the harsh fact. But the second thing is, some people are not suited to work remotely. Very isolating for people, can be very bad for the mental health. There's pros and cons. For other people, it's a joy. So let the government sort out the traffic problems. That the companies try to deliver a good job and a good service to the customers and stay in business. Because if you're not delivering the service, somebody else in the world will deliver the service. So I'm very pro-remote working where it is appropriate and where it works for everybody. But there are people I wouldn't allow to work remotely in 100 years because it wouldn't work. And you can read between the lines, Andrea. And as I say, Larissa and Tracy made perfect points about the realities, the legalities. So, sorry, let's sort out the traffic problems where the problem lies and where the solution lies. And let the companies deliver jobs so that we all have a good economy and we actually can live a good life.
Yeah.
The mortgage.
Well, it was funny that, you know, coming in on the bus today to work this morning, it was an absolute joy. We flew in on the bus today. Why? Because it's a Monday. I'll be an extra hour late coming in tomorrow because the whole country will be coming in to work in the office tomorrow. Listener says, I'm running a company at the moment and there's staff who want to work from home, even though the job is not a work from home kind of job. It requires them to be on site. So how do I navigate that? Jamie Groom is with us as well, Tony. Jamie is the CEO and co-founder of Rent a Recruiter. How do you think we navigate all of this, Jamie?
Yeah, it can be difficult, to be honest. Like, we're a fully remote business. We have been since COVID. And I agree with a lot of what I think it's Tony just said there. It is not for everyone. Like, we've hired people remote and they were so excited. But then it's the mental health issue. Like, they don't like sitting at home and not having the conversations. Yeah, it's our job to be on the phones with people all the time, but it's not the same as your water cooler moments, as they call them. But I do think, like, I live in Kildare and I drive into Dublin a couple of times a month and I dread it. I dread it because I know it's going to take me at least 2 hours. Like, I have to give myself 3 hours just in case I get stuck in traffic to get to meetings. Like, it can be difficult, but the working from home, I'm doing it since COVID. I love it. I think it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But the idea of, you know, telling employers to allow staff maybe now to, you know, not have to come into the office on a Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday because they tend to be the peak traffic days, or particularly Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, is it fair to ask employers to consider that?
Not really. I don't think so. Like, it's up to the employer what he wants to do. And, like, look, if a person working in the business doesn't agree with their employer, like, I don't mean to be rude or anything, like, they can find another job where the employer is more flexible that suits their lifestyle. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we didn't go fully remote, I'm not sure we would be fully remote now. But COVID obviously changed all that and opened our eyes to it. But, like, it's not for everyone. Like, there's a lot of companies out there it won't suit. Do you know what I mean?
And if
you
want a fully remote job, there's probably a lot of individuals it doesn't suit either.
Yeah. So, like, those people, like, I don't know if this is rude or not to say, but they could look for another job and say, right, this is the kind of employer I want to work for. They're more flexible for me, especially people with young kids, dropping them in and out of school. Or your kids get sick. Like, I've spoken to people over the years where an employer wouldn't even let them go and pick their kid up from school and they're sick because they're too busy. Like, they need to be flexible like that. Do you know what I mean? And if your employer's not doing it, if you're happy there, stay there. If you're not happy there and you need to change your lifestyle to suit what you have in that moment, then just move jobs. Go to someone who is flexible, who will accommodate what you need.
How difficult is it, Larissa, you know, when if you have a staff member or somebody who joins the company, and particularly when you're a fully remote working business, and, you know, it transpires this person just, they're not good working from home. They need somebody looking over their shoulder or nearby them all the time.
Yeah, we've been there actually, Andrea. We've been there a couple of years ago. In this sector, it's really hard to find good people. That's a common, I think a lot of businesses would report the same. And we never had an issue getting applicants for roles. Where we had issues was getting the right applicants. So we would hear a lot in interviews, for example, people would say to us, I want to take a step back. I don't want to do the commute anymore. I've worked hard enough for long enough. We would have heard that a lot. Mm. So there was almost a misconception that working remotely was easier, when actual fact it's harder. It's much, much harder to get to know your colleagues, to communicate with your colleagues, to integrate yourself into the team. So you actually need to be more ambitious. You need to have more drive. And we now have to interview for that. We now spend a lot of time identifying those characteristics in applicants before we even hire them. And we've been there. We've made that mistake. And it's really difficult because not everybody is suitable for remote working for all the reasons that everybody has spoken about there. It doesn't suit everybody. But equally, the opposite is also true. In-person working doesn't suit everybody either, even though traditionally that was always the way it has been. And I noticed that those that excel in remote working may be the ones that would not have excelled in an in-person environment in the past. I think there's room for everybody. And I think employers have to be flexible, but you have to recognise that you have to hire the best people, obviously, for the environment that you're in, which is what we try to do.
Declan's on the line too, Larissa. Why did you get in touch, Declan?
Hi there, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good. No, my point was there was a recent government consultation put out about remote working and the right to request remote working, and it went back to the fact that this whole process of working remotely was a knee-jerk reaction, of course, to COVID, and it happened in a way that couldn't be managed, but had to be managed. The legislation that was brought out, the work-life balance legislation in 2023, provided workers with the right to request remote working, but fell well short of any clear structure and rights in relation to their ability to work remotely, albeit from home or elsewhere. So what we did as part of the, we're health and safety consultants, what we did as part of the public consultation, we submitted a suggestion that a strategy be put in place whereby remote working hubs are created around regional towns. That would be a managed, structured, safe environment for people to go to work in. One of the difficulties with remote working is the standard or the inconsistency in standards when it comes to space, equipment, lighting, and lots of other things. So the idea of creating remote working hubs...
Who should create these hubs?
Well, I suppose ultimately the government would be the ones leading it.
Yeah.
I think there would be a payback in relation to there would be office spaces that would be rented out. They wouldn't be completely free of charge. I mean, there would be an investment rather than something that would be a cost to society. But the other part of the suggestion that we made was that employers should be obliged to establish a percentage of their workers who work remotely or justify and demonstrate why they can't. So we suggested 33% of all people should be working remotely, albeit, of course, everybody can't work remotely. Construction workers, factory workers, lots of people can't work remotely. But at the moment, there is no clear structure to say, really, to drive work from home or working remotely, and to switch that around and say, okay, as an employer, it's up to you to justify why you don't have, we suggested a third, but it could be any amount, let's say a third of your workers are not working remotely. You have to be able to demonstrate to the Workplace Relations Commission why you're not doing that. And if it's justifiable, as in we're factory workers, we're building workers, of course we can't, that's fair enough. But not to simply say workers have the right to request remote working and then leave it with a vague...
So you think it should be around 33% roughly, Declan? That's kind of the percentage you'd put on it, is it?
Without any research or... I think it needs some target.
What target? Because you mentioned something similar, Tracy Keogh, a few moments ago as well. What percentage do you think we should have our target for working from home?
Well, but I suppose that target is the wrong one. Like, and 33% forcing employers into this is the wrong approach, and the conversation has to go way across this. Ireland has put €100 million into hubs and broadband. We've gone down the road of infrastructure, of buildings, of all of that, and we need now to bring the jobs in. Again, there is absolutely no need to bash employers. There was a lot said there about, you know, skills for remote work. Grow Remote, a non-profit, we run the largest training programme in Ireland, in Europe actually, for individuals and managers. It sold out last year. Hopefully we will kind of increase capacity this year for it. But that is to bring in the skills. There are solutions for everything. The target that we need is to win into Ireland the already remote jobs. While we're arguing about what AIB or Bank of Ireland should do or whoever, there are 100,000 this month jobs passing over us because we don't know where to look. We need informed discussions and we need to set a target. If we set a target for 1% of the jobs, that's 1,000 jobs coming into Ireland. That's 10 million in taxpayer income and 20 million in additional GDP. It's transformational, and that is the right conversation to have. Then we'd be having debates about why we disincentivize remote work through the EU incentive schemes, while we don't have nationwide training programs that are more accessible, and like the real tangible questions that drive progress. Joint Way.org. break.
Listener says, I'm working in finance and no chance I'd be allowed to work in a hub for confidentiality reasons. I assume healthcare would be the same. Anything that manages private data won't allow any form of communal hub situation. His texter says, what about the people working in retail, hospitality, truckers? They can't work from home. Why are the office workers given preferential treatment where they can save on transport, childcare costs, etc., and other people have no choice with regards to working from their home? Finally, this listener says, any government agencies and public bodies have returned at least 3+ days a week where working from home is completely practical. Why don't the government allow those to stay working from home? I think it would go a long way. It happened during COVID. The government was praised and encouraged for the repopulation of rural areas through working from home. They should take the lead, as major employers have done, so says this listener. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That is Larissa Feeney, Tracy Kyo, Tony as well with us there, Jamie Groom, and also Declan. Thanks a million for getting in touch.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.